Good morning. Do we have any children here for junior church? Joyce gets up and she's ready to go down. I sure hope we're all a child at heart in some sense. Hi there. How's everyone doing? Wonderful?
No.
Oh, no. So. Well, let's pray that, who's teaching this morning? All right, let's pray that Miss Barb, God will give her something that will make you just be so excited, and you won't be so, but you'll be happy and joyful. How's that sound? Can we do that for you? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the honesty of these children, and so grateful for them. They're a gift. They are a gift, and we're so grateful. We pray your blessings upon their time, and I pray that, God, as you just allow them to receive the teaching of your word this morning, that it would go into their heart deep, that they might see Jesus and all who he is. I pray for Barb that you would just bless her. I pray that you give her creativity, that you give her clarity of thought, and just their words would bring encouragement and excitement to these children. Lord, please bless these lives. Please encourage them and strengthen them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Bless their time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. I trust you're doing well. I have to do a couple things here. Yeah, I know. I'm getting... One is, I misspoke last week. I didn't lie to you. I misspoke. Jason taped this to my cheek. And he said, you're the only one. Well, I took it. I'm the only one. After the message, I found out I was his first one that he taped it. And that Phil and Bette tapes everyone. So what that did for me was made me feel at ease that everyone's just as crazy as I am. Up here, moving and shaking. And so as I took my mask off, this thing jerks off and tape comes off. And so hopefully, we're okay? You want to put a piece of duct tape here? That might work. All right. I guess it moves around, so it's hard for people at home to hear me. I pray that you'll be able to hear me at home. Again, we want to recognize those who are at home and listen to the message over the electronics. And I pray that you'll be able to hear and receive from the Lord what God has in store for you. Last week, the scripture says in Psalm 11, verse 3, says that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, that question could really communicate hopelessness. And yet the beauty of the scriptures is we could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 actually says that, actually verse 10 says, according to the grace of God, Paul said, given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one of you take care how he builds upon it, the foundation. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is he's the foundation. He's the chief cornerstone by which our lives as we walk in faith have got to be built upon. And so last week's message, in some sense, I believe from the Lord that laid the foundation. And what I mean by that is that, and I'm grateful God turned my heart the way that he did last week, because Jesus Christ is truly the greatest gift anyone could ever receive in this life. He is. And so as we speak about spiritual gifts this morning and continue on in some sense, and we're just going to touch with this. The whole topic of spiritual gifts could go on for another you know, 6 weeks easy for messages, but we're just going to touch high on it. I'm probably going to come from it a different, a little bit different way than we've heard. But we've been going through a series of messages here at Christian Fellowship, and the elders have felt it necessary to come up with messages from the DFF, Desire for Fellowship, as to communicate what we believe here at Christian Fellowship. And one of the things in our shared values of the Christian Fellowship here in the DFF is that, one, we... I'll just read it. It's shared values is a plurality of leadership by elders and deacons and the full use of many unique talents, abilities, and spiritual gifts of the entire church body as each one does its work or does its part. I'm grateful that we have different people up here in the pulpit speaking. I am grateful. I hope that you are grateful. I'm sure that each one of us can identify a little bit better with who might be speaking. So having the diverse gifts share, different individuals, some of us relate better than others. And it's healthy for the body of Christ. I think that's God's design. I think there's safety. I think there's good things that come. And Christian Fellowship has been established that way for many years. And so... you have been, as an individual, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been given gifts. You are precious in the sight of the Lord, and He has blessed you with spiritual blessings, and He has blessed you with gifts. He's blessed you with talents. He's blessed you with abilities. He's blessed you in ways that, as you continue to grow, you will look back and you'll be, I believe, joy can well up in your soul to look back and see how God's hand has been on your life and how He has blessed you with talents, abilities, and spiritual blessings and spiritual gifts. We need to be able to see that. Talents and abilities, some of those are learned. We have to learn those things. I didn't know how to change a tire until somebody taught me how to do that. I didn't know how to... I've had the privilege of completely build a motor start to finish a couple times. Okay. I needed somebody to show me and teach me that. And when I learned it, we didn't have YouTube. Okay. I had to listen, process, make mistakes, all that kind of stuff. Now it's amazing because, I did my brakes on my father-in-law's vehicle here a couple of weeks ago and it is, I have to be careful here. I never seen a brake job like this. So I said, honey, let's pull up YouTube. And you know what? It's on there for detail. Step one, step two, all the way. Got it done. It was awesome. You know. Thank God for individuals who are willing to make the investment on YouTube. Yeah. From anything that you can imagine, from changing the light, from I even checked yesterday on YouTube, how do you cook the best steak? Actually, that was Friday night, but I wanted to know, so I tried it. And I think the steak that I cooked came out the best I've ever cooked it. So, and it's funny, because as I come in, we had a steak and baked potatoes, and Chris said, I'm real excited about these baked. She took a picture, showed it to Sarah, and she said, guess what I did? I said, I don't know. She said, I got on YouTube. How do you make the best, most perfect baked potato? So here we're both using electronics to give us abilities that neither one of us know how to do. When we look at ourselves and we look at spiritual gifts, and we look at our abilities and we look at our talents, as we look at an individual and we hear David in the Psalms say that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are your works. I hope you're able to say that. There's been times in my Christian walk early on that I wasn't able to say that with confidence. Because I would look at myself and in some sense of comparison, other people, but looking at myself and things that I'd heard, things that I'd been taught. And I couldn't say with freedom in my spirit, Lord, I truly am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous is your work. So when we're told that we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then we need to love our neighbor as ourselves, there's some sense that we love ourselves when we can declare with what God's word says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous is his work. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And so it's the truth of God's word, what he says of us, who we are. We need to recognize that God loves us and he has favor on us and he cares about us and he gives us and has created in a uniqueness that there is not anyone else just like us. No one else is just like you. No one. No one can replace you. No one is just like you. And what makes us up is part of those gifts and abilities and talents that God has given to us that makes us different from one another. So this morning, I'd like to just share some things from the scriptures. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I pray that you'd open up our hearts in a way to be able to receive from you. I pray that you give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to each one of us. It's your desire to speak to us, you still speak to us. I pray that you'd use the Word of God to do that. I pray that you'd use the Spirit of God to really allow the words of the Scriptures to penetrate our hearts, to not only give us joy, but also hope, to see ourselves in light of the Scriptures and see ourselves in light of how you have made us and created us. We are grateful that you've created us in your image and that you care about us. Cared about us so much that you sent your son, the Lord Jesus, to die for us. And that, Father, we just commit this time to you. We ask that, again, you'd bring clarity to our thoughts, our words, and that, God, you'd be honored and glorified in all things, but more importantly, that you'd be honored and glorified in our lives. Holy Spirit, would you do that? That we would just simply praise the Lord. And with gratefulness, we could say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, O Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope this message is a little bit toned down from last week. I'll try not to be too excited. I do have some thingies. Slides, thank you. You can see I'm not very good at this. My son accused me of Ken helping me do these this morning. So he laughed at me. So Ken, you have encouraged me. Thank you so much. I still need help. So this week we finished up with Romans. We read Romans chapter 12. And we're going to read it again this morning. Remember the last verse of chapter 11 says, for from him, Paul declares, and through him, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of the triune God, for from him and through him and to him are all things. It starts, spiritual gifts start right there and enter into. And to him be glory forever. Amen. And then Paul starts out and he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Paul shifts gear from a lot of doctrine and teaching and the scriptures and sound foundation. And then all of a sudden he turns to us. He declares again that very wonderful keystone that connects this to chapters 1 of Romans to all the way up to 11 to the end of the chapter. And then it starts at 12:1. And he points a finger at us. Okay, now the responsibility turns to you. The focus begins to turn to you as the body of Christ and us as individuals, that we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect gifts of grace. The heart of God is that we would not be like the world, that we would be totally changed, our lives would be transformed. And the Holy Spirit is in us to do that work for us. And we've got to make ourselves available to do that. We in our own will can say, no, I don't want that. And yet the grace of God is there to empower us to change. You have been changed because it's God's grace working in you to change you, conforming you to the image of Jesus. In verse 3, it says, for by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. I shared with you, this is a verse that's in my soul and I need it. It keeps me in check. That when I think I am so good and so high and mighty, God reminds me of this verse. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And I think Paul puts that there because he begins to enter into spiritual gifts, because sometimes we think our gifts are better than someone else. And we neglect to recognize that God has given us the gift. He's the giver of gifts. Sometimes we think that we conjured this gift up in ourselves, and it's not the case. We ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Verse 4, for as in one body we have many members, and in the members do not have all the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. We all belong to the body of Christ, every one of us. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you belong to the whole body of Christ. Christian fellowship is just a place where God has called each one of us to come and live and serve and grow. And as we grow and we trust the Lord to lead us and direct us, then God is wanting to use us right where we've been planted. And there's many members. Every one of us is not the same. We will never, I mentioned that before, we'll never be the same. Some of us will have some of the same gifts, but we still function differently. Some of the things that set us different in the gifts is just simply our name. Our name brings about a meaning in our lives of who we are. And so I got to be careful here. I won't go down there. If two people have the same gift, if two people have the same gift, and there is, let's just say server. If we have two servers that God has given a gift to serve, there will be different flavors based on the meaning of their name, their birth order, how God has raised them, when they've gotten saved, from their, even some of the things that they've had to go through, to bring them to the place that right where they're at. You'll see some of the same functions. You'll see some of the same details, the operations. You'll see them both jumping in, and whether it's a male or female, you see them both jump in and serve. We'll describe some of those a little bit, that I've just my observations of some of these gifts. So verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion of our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. There's seven gifts here. Seven gifts. I believe there's seven motivational gifts. I believe that God has created every one of us with one of these gifts. There will be residue of others in our lives, but I believe there's a strong motivation in each one of us to function and operate in one of these seven gifts. It's God working in us, giving us the grace according to our faith as we walk and live for Him. And God wants to use us in ways that will honor and glorify Him in the body of Christ, but also in a lost world. Turn your Bibles, if you're going with your scriptures, go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. KJV says, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you're pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Everyone. Not just some, all of us. The grace of God is upon our lives. It's to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Spiritual gifts can be intimidating. Spiritual gifts can be misunderstood. Spiritual gifts can be, I don't want to enter into that conversation because some of us have recognized or seen abuse of spiritual gifts over the years. Seen churches that have gone to an excess and tried to focus solely on spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts is something that, again, is just simply a gift. We receive it, we function, we operate, we walk, we live, and we trust the Lord as He grows us to be in who He wants us to be. I would encourage you not to be afraid, and some people may think, well, he's going to be speaking about spiritual gifts. You know, he's treading on a spongy ground. I'm not opposed to trying to see the scriptures, trust the Lord through them. And I've got to be honest with you. I don't understand all that it says about spiritual gifts. I told my wife, I wish the scriptures had more to say on spiritual gifts. And she came back. She said, actually, I think there's a lot of things in scriptures I wish it had more to say on. And that's true. But what it does for us is we're able to seek the Lord in prayer, continue to read the scriptures, ask the Holy Spirit for understanding, and He can lead us and guide us and teach us. So I'm being honest with you. I don't have it all understood. I really don't. I'm on a trajectory of growing in Jesus, and I want to trust Him with everything. And so I'm not going to ask you to agree with everything that I'm saying this morning. Verse 7 again. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit, and it's the Spirit of God for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. It is God's working in us. I'm not going to go down the road to say, you know, there's some things that some of us may say I don't agree with and I don't believe still is in existence. I don't want to try and defend or argue that point. I just want to read the scriptures and trust the Lord. I am going down a certain venue, but I want you to see the diversities of the scriptures. And if we continue, and time doesn't allow us to do this, if we continued in chapter 12, you would see that all of a sudden Paul is bringing an analogy of the body of Christ and us each having a different part. Well, each part has got to function the way that God has created us. Because of the body of Christ, we cannot say to each other that I have no need of you. It is my heart, wherever God has taken us as a family into any body, and as He led us over 10 years ago to come to Christian Fellowship, It is, I know that God has brought us, thus saith the Lord, to John Dudley and Chris Dudley, thus saith the Lord, you are to be at Christian Fellowship. And as God led us here, he will also be the one to lead us away. But as I am here, he wants me to function as a part of the body. He wants me to use my gifts. He wants me to operate as he gives me the grace and direction for me to walk and live. But he also wants me to have such a heart of love for every one of you that I can't come to the point and say, I don't need you. And that's what Paul says more in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you continue to read it. The hand can't say to the foot that he has no need, or the eye or the ear, of all those kinds of things. We have a need in the body of Christ. I need you in my life. In the body of Christ, you need me in your life. And you could say, I'm not so sure about that, John. That's going to be something that God could bring about conviction in your heart. When we recognize that we have a need in the body of Christ, God wants to fill and meet those needs sometimes within the body of Christ. He can do it supernaturally and he can do it through the Spirit of God. But sometimes he wants to use the body of Christ to meet those needs. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's somebody serving. Sometimes it's somebody just simply speaking love to you, putting an arm around you, hugging you, shaking your hand, greeting you, smiling at you. All those kinds of things. I'm finding now that I'm getting a response with us wearing masks that with the mask, I have to raise my eyebrows to acknowledge people. A guy at work at Friday come walking in. He had a mask. And I said, I don't like these masks. He said, why don't you like the mask? I said, because I don't know if you're sticking your tongue out at me right now. He starts laughing. Now, in the diversity of gifts, and in the word diversity, and actually, it says variety. It's diversity is actually in KJV. So varieties of diversity, that word is all the same in the Greek. But when it comes to the gifts, that I mentioned last week that the word gifts is charisma. That charisma is it's who you are. It is literally who you are. Boy, that guy is just charismatic. That guy has such charisma. She's got such charisma. She has such a draw to draw people in, or he does. Charisma. That's a Greek word for gift. Diversity of service. Diakonia. It's a root word that's used for a deacon or minister. And we all have a ministry. So because it's the diversity of our gifts, then we have all a ministry. Do you know you have a ministry? You say, John, I'm not in the ministry. And I can say, oh, yes, you are. God has called you. In a sphere of influence, that's your ministry. And so Paul said in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, as we have received this mercy, as we have received this ministry, just as we have received mercy. God gives us a ministry. He puts you right where you're at, planted, so you can grow as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ to have a sphere of influence of everyone that's around you. You learn that in the home of a family, but once you get past the family and grow and are out of the family, you take those gifts and strengths and way that you're able to minister within the home and the family. You come into a church, then your ministry just gets bigger, and then you're out in the world and workplace, and you've got all these other opportunities for ministry. We've short-sighted, or we've misappropriated the word ministry in thinking that somebody, if they're paid full-time, they're in the ministry. When we as believers, every one of us are ministers of God. We've been ministered by the grace of God to give of ourselves as he has created us. Then the diversity of activities, operations, the word there in the Greek word is energema. It's how a gift is displayed. It's the energy. It's how it comes out. It's how it's manifested in our lives to others. It's the Spirit of God. It's some of the fruit of the Spirit that God has created in us as we walk in the Spirit, as we walk in the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit flows from our lives. It's what other people see. Now, I want to I'd like to just speak on the seven gifts going back to Romans chapter 12. Looking at it as a motivational gift, prophet. There's a lot of different opinions out there about the spiritual gift of a prophet. I hold true that I believe that the scriptures today, there are still prophets. I believe that today the church gift, spiritual gift of the prophet is one who proclaims truth. I think it's one that's totally misunderstood. In a conversation years ago, amongst a handful of brothers were sitting around, and the one brother says, usually the one who has the spiritual gift of a prophet is, if you walk into the room, it's usually the one who has their foot in their mouth. Okay? So, it's a proclaimer of truth. They love truth. Things are usually black and white, not much gray. They're outspoken. They love truth more than people. And sometimes they will speak truth and no love, and that produces harshness. Sometimes somebody who has this gift will communicate in ways that you just sense a harshness or a roughness or a gruffness with them. And yet it's the Spirit of God that wants to tone that down so that when truth is spoken, it's spoken in love and not harshness. There are times that those who have this gift will be critical and judgmental. One who has the gift of the prophet is not afraid to stand alone. And some of these you can see from the prophets from the scriptures. You may be sitting there and thinking, boy, some of those identify. And some of the things that I have listed down, they're not, there's so many more things. There's so many different websites that communicate. If you were to go out there and do a study on the spiritual gifts, you can begin to see that there's a lot of different things out there. But you have, I believe, you have one of these seven gifts. A server. A server sees needs. I believe a server is, if you see the commercial on TV, the Energized Bunny. That's a server. They have an endless supply of energy that they can serve and serve and serve and serve and keep on going. I'm sorry, I hit that button. Endless supply of energy. They are the type of a behind the scene person. They want absolutely no recognition. They just want to jump in and get things going. Servers are often taken advantage of. A server delights to serve. They just love to serve. Just please get out of my way and just simply let me serve. You know, and you cannot outserve a server. Now, I'll take flack for this later. My wife's a server. She serves just like the Energy Bunny. We're on vacation. I'm getting the scowl. We're on vacation, and her purse was wearing out. She likes a certain type of purse, and I like to buy those purses for her. Okay? And there happens to be a vacation out in the Outer Banks. There happens to be a place that she likes to get a purse. So I said, let's go in there. Let's get you a purse. She said, I don't need a purse. And I said, no, we need to get you a purse. So we go in there. We're looking. Finally, I said, I really want you to get a purse. You can't outserve a server. I'm wanting to serve my wife and get her a new purse. Now, her purse isn't shabby or anything like that. It's just, and the thing is, God allowed us, He gave us the finances to do it. So she doesn't even like to spend any money on herself. And so I'm wanting to serve her and get her a new purse. And so finally, okay, you know, and I just told her, I said, thank you for letting me buy you a purse. Why? A server is like that. One time my wife was asked to, she was asked to speak at a ladies group one time. And she got done, and I found this out by the person who asked her to come speak at the group. She doesn't like to speak. She hates to get behind a pulpit or say anything. She is behind the scenes. So she came to the ladies' meeting. She spoke on what God had given her to speak. And You know, sometimes people will mingle and talk and everything like that. And so the person who asked her to come and speak says, she got done speaking and we're in there fellowshipping. And I looked around, I couldn't find your wife. She said, I looked all over, I couldn't find your wife. And I'm thinking, she said, you know where I found her? I said, no, where'd you find my wife? She said she was in the kitchen cleaning up from all the dishes from that meal. She's a server. And so I'm not trying to put her on a pedestal by no means. She does it by the grace of God that he has given to her. But she delights to serve. She really does. I have learned how to serve through her, seeing her eyes, looking through her eyes. It has helped me. The scripture, if you look at the ones who have served, God says, which I didn't write it here, God always, he always blesses the server. What did Jesus say? Whosoever is greatest among you, let him become what? The servant of all. You want God's blessing? Begin to learn how to serve. Learn how to serve. It's not that God doesn't bless other ways. I'm just saying, I try to be a servant at work. I will do it. I mean, I've told the owner of the company, I'll do anything you ask me to. I will not sin. I will not do sin, and I will not commit evil. If you ask me to rob a bank, I can't do that. There are some things a server cannot do. Teacher. A teacher loves truth. A teacher loves to study the scriptures. A teacher loves to dig deep into the scriptures and find the little nuggets that so many other people won't find. A teacher, when they teach, they have a way to bring out from the scriptures things that not everyone else can see. And then all of a sudden, when they communicate it and share with it, the Holy Spirit, at least for me, reveals to me, wow, that is awesome. How come I could never see that? And some of it is because I just haven't dug deep enough or asked the Lord to show me. But a teacher is able to do that. They're given to the details of the scriptures. They like to see the T crossed and the I dotted. Teacher wants things validated or verified. They're just like the Bereans. They will search the scriptures. The things that they hear from the pulpit, is it true and does it match the word of God? And a teacher most often wants to clarify their misunderstandings. And sometimes a teacher is misunderstood. And truly, all these gifts can be misunderstood. They really can be. My wife... Let me say, not my wife. A server could be misunderstood as not being loving because they're busy doing. But really, they're displaying love to you and serving you because what needs to get done, a server is doing it. A teacher. An exhorter. An exhorter is able to visualize direction. They're able to see. Somebody who has the gift of being an exhorter, they are able to see things by faith. They're able they're visionaries in some sense. They're able to see things that other people can't see. They're committed to spiritual growth. They're always exhorting you, encouraging you. I believe the Apostle Paul was an exhorter. The cup is always half full. Not half empty. How you look at a cup, is it half empty or half full? They're an incurable optimist. They always have hope. There is usually always hopeful. People love to be around an exhorter because of the joyful attitude that they constantly display. We have all these gifts in this body. I don't want to point them out. I can point out my wife because she'll take care of me later, you know. And so I'm being careful how I see it displayed in this body. But some of you are looking at yourself. Well, we'll deal with that in a second here. A giver gives to meet needs. They find ways to give creatively. They're very frugal. They ask wise questions to get to the real need. And a giver takes great joy when they find out that what they have given or what they gave met a need that was already being prayed for. Because they know that they have just functioned, they have just operated the way that God has created them to glorify God as I gave and met this need. A ruler, an organizer. One who is a ruler, and it's not necessarily a pastor, it's not necessarily anybody in the ministry, but somebody who has the gift to be able to delegate, to see the details, to see a project and know that all this has got to get accomplished. I'm sorry. All this has got to get accomplished in order for the end task or the end goal to be met. And so they like challenges, puzzles. They're orderly. They're in order. They like things done in order. They like systematic. They like things being accomplished and know that in some sense, all the details, there's no details that are missed. They visualize how to get tasks done. Sometimes the ruler or organizer can seem bossy. Hey, would you do this and would you do this? This needs to get done. Could you be helped? And all of a sudden, who put you in charge? But they're just using their gifts. They're usually diligent people in getting things done. Usually a server and an organizer, you want to get out of their way. Because they've got how God has created them, how God has wants to use them in their gifts for the body of Christ to glorify Himself. They're not afraid to do the things that others dislike doing. And people take advantage of those people as well. Now, I say this, and getting back to what I had said, that I believe that each one of us have, mercy. Mercy. We all need mercy. We all need mercies. Mercies are tender-hearted people. Mercies are very compassionate and sympathetic. The mercies, if you are a mercy giver, you're usually one who is for the underdog. Unless it comes to Michigan and Ohio State football. Because if you're an Ohio State fan, you'll never root for Michigan. So, and back in the 80s, I never rooted for the underdog. So, mercy is able to empathize with hurting people. And mercy takes up offenses for others. In other words, they will have a tendency to even take up an offense when somebody has already forgiven them. They will take up that offense and won't forgive. And so they have an opportunity to really allow God to change their hearts so that they can forgive freely and not take up offenses. Now, I did something I shouldn't have done. You didn't tell me. Okay, thank you. Now, when I speak of these seven gifts, I believe that God has given each one of us one. And again, there's some residue of others that would be in our lives. And some of it is because of how we've been taught or how we've been in the church. I have taken on by osmosis my wife's gift just because we're one in Christ and we're one in our marriage. And there's times she's taken on my gift as well. And when I look at my children, what it does for me is as I look at these gifts, it helps me to understand more of other people because they see things differently than I do. If we were to have something take place, okay, let's say I just broke a dish out here in the center. There would be many different thought processes as to that. And somebody would say one thing, somebody else would say another thing, a server would say, here, I'm going to help clean it up. It's just how we see things differently. It's because of how God has created us. When I first began to understand spiritual gifts back in the middle 80s, what it did for me is I began to see these things about spiritual gifts. I began to see that God loves me. He loves me and He gave me something that was for me. He created me. There's a uniqueness to me. And He loves me and He wants to use me in ways that He is going to give me grace, empowerment to walk and live for Him. We're created in His image. So each of those gifts really communicates something about who God is in our lives. Now, our misunderstanding is that the Spirit of God that lives within us works against the flesh. So we can have fleshly attitudes which are contrary to the Spirit of God. And so it's God, as He allows His Spirit in us with grace to empower us to respond properly. And if we were to look at all seven of those gifts, Jesus Christ is every one of those seven perfectly, without any residue of the flesh. He is perfect. He's the perfect prophet. He's the perfect proclaimer. He's the perfect organizer. He's the perfect teacher. He's the perfect exhorter. He's the perfect giver. He's the perfect one who shows mercy. All those gifts communicate. He's the perfect teacher. When all the scribes and the Pharisees would come to attack Him, and He taught them correctly. He never slipped up. He couldn't slip up. He's the Word of truth. He's the embodiment of the Word of God. And so as Jesus is all seven, I don't have all seven in me. If I had all seven, I could be self-sufficient. Jesus is self-sufficient. If I had all seven, then I wouldn't have a need for the body of Christ. But because of I am being limited by what God has created me, it shows that I have a greater need in my life. So we're created in His image. God gives us glimpse of the gifts that He gives to us so that we can see Him more purely, more clearly. He's given us gifts to glorify Himself in us, being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that we can see that we are a part of the body of Christ. The whole book there in Romans, if you'd look at chapter 12, Paul declares, in some sense, you are a part. You need to participate as a part. And then participation goes on from verse 9 to the end of the book of Romans. And so God allows us to be participators in the body of Christ. And Paul lays out various things that we need to give ourselves to be participators in the body of Christ. To use us in the body of Christ for edification. Edification of the body, but also that Christ might be edified in us and through us. We are His workmanship. He's the one that created us and He is still creating us as long as we're in this life. To see how different we are and the need that we need to love each other. You know what? Sometimes it's hard because of our gifts. Sometimes it's hard because the prophet has just spoken truth to you. And quite honestly, right now, I don't want to hear truth. And part of it might be because you're enjoying your sin. That's the key right there. Because let me interject right here. I hadn't seen it till just a couple of years ago, because I always thought, in weddings, you always pull out chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, the love chapter. And it's a beautiful thing. And actually, Tom Bork spoke a message here maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, on love. And the last verse of chapter 12 says, I will show you a more excellent way, talking about the diversity of the body of Christ and the body itself. And Paul says, I'll show you a more excellent way. Then he enters into the love chapter. And then right after the love chapter, he enters into diversity once again. And so here we have gifts on one chapter, gifts on another, and smack dab in the middle is love. And that's the most important thing, is love. That we need to be able to love each other in the diversities that we are and how God has created us. And quite honestly, I'm sure it's probably hard at times for you to love me. There's times it might be hard for you to love someone else. It might be hard for you to love somebody from the church that you left. It might be hard for you to love somebody from this church who has left. But God still calls us, the bottom thing, the greatest of all these things, is love. And love is a gift. And love is embodiment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we love, as He loves, we're showing Christ to others. And then the last thing there is to see we need each other. We need others in our life. You know, when I was going to be 17, a week before I turned 17, I viciously, wickedly, wrongly said to my mom, finger in her face, "Take a look at me. It's the last time. I don't need you." Do you know that wickedness is in us? God has convicted me time and time again in this walk with Christ as He changed me. Because there's times I want to say, "I don't need you." That creeps up. And it's the Spirit of God that convicts me and says, "That's wrong." And certainly I repent, ask God to forgive me. And God gives me freedom, sets me free, gives me love, gives me joy, recognizes how I desperately need the individual that I was trying to say I don't need in my life. We have to recognize that with the diversity amongst ourselves, that we are limited in our perspective and we need each other to grow and move together. We are limited. Every one of us is limited. When we can share in conversation and heart with a better understanding of where a person's at and each other's at, it deepens our understanding and greater appreciation for who they are and how God has created them. Because that person is created in the image of God just as I am. And God would have me to love them with the depth of love that Jesus has loved me so I can love them. And the beautiful thing is that Jesus is limitless. Jesus has all those gifts. He is everything. He's the complete embodiment of the Word of God. Let me encourage you to grow in your gifts, in your talents, in your abilities. Let me leave you with two verses. One is in Hebrews, when it says we need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who is perfecting our faith. Jesus wants to perfect you as who you are in Jesus. He wants to see you in your completeness of how He has created you, the gifts He has given you, and He wants you to look unto Him. He wants you to look unto Him. And then I hadn't thought about this until going through this message and studying. When Jesus said unto us in Scripture, He said for us to take His yoke upon Him. Take, for His yoke is easy, the burden is light. And He says, "Come learn of me." The gift that you've been given, who better to come learn the gifts that He's given to us than coming unto Jesus? Because He not only wants us to come unto Him, but He wants to teach us. He wants to show us. He wants to grow in us. He wants us to grow and live for Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your grace upon our lives. And we thank You that You have loved us, that You have given us gifts. And Father, as You would empower each of us here with grace, that we could walk by faith and see how the way that You have created us. Now we need grace to be able to function and to live and to walk and have our beings. And Father, I just pray that You teach us Your ways. It is our desire to learn of Jesus. When we look at the love that he had for us and for all. When we look at all the way that he responded to everyone who came in his presence, Lord, we need your help to be able to do that. And we know that your desire is to help us. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.